RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo met with representatives of Islamic mass organizations. IMF advised Indonesia should push structural reform. Napichit will revive Swadron 100 to strengthen Alutsista. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received representatives of 14 Islamic mass organizations as part of Islamic mass organization Brotherhood Institution LPOI at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. Secretary General of LPOI, Haji Lufi, said after the meeting with President Joko Widodo at Merdeka Palace that LPOI will always stand behind the President and urge the government to pay more attention to people's welfare. Haji Lufi also pointed out that LPOI was an association of Islamic mass organization that were founded before Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945. The institution is firmly against radicalization, terrorism, and extremism, and appeals to the head of state to revoke permits of mass organizations that sow the seed of such acts. Moreover, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim told reporters after accompanying the president at the meeting with LPOI that the head of state had warmly welcomed cooperation with LPOI in thwarting radical groups. As the world's largest Muslim country, Indonesia must be able to reflect frank religion in Islam, which follow the principle of Rahmatan lil Alamin, which means grace to all people. International Monetary Fund IMF has urged Indonesian government to pursue a strong structural reform agenda and accelerate infrastructure development to achieve growth and open new employment opportunities. IMF Deputy Managing Director Musiro Furusawa said as quoted by Antara on Tuesday, it had been an honor to visit Indonesia for the first time as IMF Deputy Managing Director. He compared his credit to Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo, Coordinating Economic Minister Sofian Jalil, and Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro for sharing views and discussion productively during his visit. Furusawa also discussed why the reform of IMF financing facility and monitoring activities over the last several years, which he said must be adjusted to each country's needs. He wants to praise the Indonesian government for the significant steps it has conducted over the last several years to strengthen economic policy and foreign exchange reserves. Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Ade Supandi said that Navy will immediately revive Squadron 100 to reinforce the main weaponry system, or Alutsista, in the ranks of Navy flights. Admiral Ade Supandi explained in Surabaya on Wednesday that Squadron 100 to be revived at Juanda Navy Air Base is an anti-submarine helicopter squadron, so the squadron will be the strong mainstay for marine operations. According to Admiral Ade Supandi, the first step to revive Squadron 100 launched by the Navy Force in 1960 is that 11 helicopters will be received gradually this year. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Governor of Bank Indonesia BI Agus Martowardoyo is optimistic that Indonesia's economic growth this year is still in the range of 5%, despite a number of financial institutions have made corrections. Governor Agus said in Jakarta on Wednesday that International Monetary Fund IMF has conducted a study and projected that Indonesia's economic growth this year is only capable at the level of 4.7%. Meanwhile, the World Bank has released its latest forecast recently. Global economic growth has been corrected to decrease 0.2% for Indonesia and Turkey, 0.5%, and Brazil more than 2%. The correction of the world economic growth will affect Indonesia's economic growth, which relies on export commodities. However, Governor Agus said the government will boost the economic growth through government spending, investment, and consumption. In regard to the reports of people in the dire need of food in East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa flew to the region on Wednesday to distribute food. During the visit to the district of Kualind and Amanuban Selatan in Timur Tengah Selatan Regency, Minister Kofifa handed out aid in the form of 24 tons of rice, 12 sacks of dried fish, 800 boxes of instant noodles, 24 boxes of soy sauce, and 21 boxes of cooking oil. She said that her visit was the order of President Joko Widodo, who was very concerned about reports of people in the dire need of food. Harvest failure in the area has forced local residents to consume lontar trunks, which are usually fed to cattle. Meanwhile, the Agriculture Minister and Public Works and Public Housing Minister have said they will help settle farming activities in the region by building wells, dams, and irrigation networks. The last item, State Logistics Agency Bulog Yogyakarta branch has prepared 4,000 tons of rice for market operation during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Yogyakarta Bulog Chief Langen Wisnu Adinugro said the market operations were held at the best of regency and city governments in the province. Langen also said that the rice allocation for Ramadan market operation was larger than the ones in February, which reached 300 tons. He added the increased allocation of rice was aimed at addressing the possible increase in rice prices that usually took place in the middle of the month. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Ramadan, Uniting Human Beings. Indonesian Muslims should be thankful for the determination of Ramadan this year. After many years, two largest Islamic organizations in Indonesia, Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah, were always different from determining the start of Ramadan. But this year, both of them set the beginning of Ramadan on the same day, namely Thursday 18th of June 2015. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs held a session or isbat meeting to determine the start of Ramadan at Rashidi Auditorium at Building of Religious Affairs Ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday night. The meeting co-chaired by Chairman of Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, Kiai Haji Dim Syamsuddin, lasted about 20 minutes and the fastest isbat meeting ever since. The isbat meeting was attended by some delegates from a number of institutions such as the House of Representatives DPR, Supreme Court, National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, Islamic Mass Organization, Religious Court, Police, Rectors and Rukyat Hisab Agency, respect of Minister of Religious First. In addition, there were also some ambassadors of several friendly countries including Pakistan, Algeria, Yemen, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Turkey, Egypt, Qatar and Syria. The isbat meeting with the team Spirit to Veneer Togetherness in Worship was chaired by Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin. Chairman of the Center Board of Muhammadiyah Dim Syamsuddin appreciated the move taken by Minister of Religious Affairs. Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, who keeps seeking common perception among Muslims related to Hilal criteria. According to Dim Syamsuddin, efforts to unify this perception should be done. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of Indonesian Ulama Council Mahfud Amin also expressed gratitude to the Minister of Religious Affairs because it has succeeded in doing the harmonization of calculation or hisab. Previously, Nahdlatul Ulama NU for Regional Board of East Java has also pointed out that in 2015 there is no difference to set the start of fasting month of Ramadan and Idul Fitri 2015. Soleh Hayat, NU's coordinator of Ruhyatul Hilal in East Java, said that if the beginning of Ramadan falls on Tuesday 18th of June, or one Shawwal or Idul Fitri will fall in July 17, 2015. The decision agreement to set the start of Ramadan on the same day reflects that different perceptions can be united. This is also a step forward in unifying the beliefs of two largest Islamic organizations that often retain their respective arguments. This moment should be made useful to narrow any different views of other acts of worship. Islam is a religion which is based on Rahmatan lil Alamin, and it always gets the mercy of God by always obeying His commandments and follow Sunnah of His Messenger. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on June 18, 1979, when the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, or SALT, was signed by Leonid Brezhnev and Carter. The Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, or SALT, were two rounds of bilateral talks and corresponding international treaties involving the United States and the Soviet Union, the Cold War superpowers, on the issue of armament control. SALT-2 was a series of talks between United States and Soviet negotiators from 1972 to 1979, which sought to curtail the manufacture of strategic nuclear weapons. It was a continuation of the SALT-1 talks and was led by representatives from both countries. SALT-2 was the first nuclear arms treaty which assumed real reductions and strategic forces to 2,250 of all categories of delivery vehicles on both sides. An agreement to limit strategic launchers was reached in Vienna on June 18, 1979 and was signed by Leonid Brezhnev and Jimmy Carter. And the next event was in 1983 when Sally Kristen Wright became the first American woman in space. Sally Kristen Wright was an American physicist and astronaut. Born in Los Angeles, she joined NASA in 1978 and became the first American woman in space in 1983. She remains the youngest American astronaut to have traveled to space, having done so at the age of 32. After flying twice on the orbiter Challenger, she left NASA in 1987. She worked for 2 years at Stanford University Center for International Security and Arms Control, then at the University of California, San Diego, as a professor of physics, primarily researching nonlinear optics and Thomson scattering. She served on the committees that investigated the Challenger and Columbia space shuttle disasters, the only person to participate on both. And the next event was in 1989 when the government of Burma military junta changed the name Burma to Myanmar. The government of military junta changed Burma to become Myanmar on June 18, 1989. The military junta changed the name Burma to become Myanmar to accommodate other ethnics besides Burma to feel they are part of the country. However, the change of the name was not fully adopted by the international world, especially British Commonwealth countries. Some European countries, such as Britain and Ireland, which do not recognize the legitimacy of the military junta's rule, still use Burma. Finally, the United Nations took over by deciding the name of the state to become Myanmar. the United Nations received support from France and Germany. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Indonesian Furniture Products Will Be Able to Compete in the ASEAN Economic Community 2015. The ASEAN Free Market Era, or the ASEAN Economic Community AEC, which will start at the end of 2015, will open opportunity for Indonesian furniture industry. It will be more flexible for the Indonesian furniture products to penetrate the regional market. According to the Indonesian Minister of Industry, Saleh Hussein, the AEC is an opportunity for nation of furniture. This is because the domestic market with a population of 250 million people will be extended to the ASEAN market with a population of around 620 million. Indonesian Minister of Industry Saleh Hussein affirmed domestic product has an advantage behind the calculation of the total population as the supply of domestic raw materials is abundant, so as moving the economic activity and increasing the added value. In addition, shipping products to foreign markets will also save foreign exchange income earned in the United States dollar. The government's optimism is also supported by the performance of Indonesian furniture industry, which grows 5.1% of the first quarter of 2015. According to him, this figure is more than doubled compared to the same period in 2014, which was only 2.4%. Even according to Minister Saleh, the government also encourages inter-regulatory conformity such as Timber Legality Verification System SVLK so as not apply to small industries so they are growing faster. A member of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, Nurhayati Ali Assegaf, meanwhile said, Indonesia is not ready to face the ASEAN Economic Community AEC in 2015 as the current situation has made the Indonesian people complacent. It causes the readiness among the people, especially younger generation, in facing the AEC is not maximum. Nurhayati admitted that to encourage the preparedness requires concrete steps that must be addressed properly. Meanwhile, member of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency, BKSAP, of House of Representatives, Sultan Adil Hendra, describes Indonesia as the largest country in ASEAN, which is not still ready to face the ASEAN Economic Community AEC in 2015. He said that it is because of lack of government's attention to the existing creative industries. According to politician of Gerindra Party, Creative Economy Agency, or BEK, which its 1.5 trillion rupiah program has not run well. According to Sultan Adil, Indonesian people have more culture than other countries. It can be a force to boost the economy. Sultan Adil said Indonesian human resources is still low, so that it is feared that they will not be able to become the masters in their own country. Thus, Sultan said there should be a legal umbrella and certification so that Indonesian human resources can compete with foreign human resources. And listener, that was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, June 18, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. Kompas newspaper in its headline writes, the road for mudik has not been ready. Entering the month of Ramadan, the route of the northern coast of Java in the middle lane have not yet fully ready. Efforts for road repairs are still ongoing, including to prepare an alternative path in case of congestion. Damaged roads are still easily found. Compass-wise, alternative pathways are still prepared to anticipate the current and food behind the Lebaran. Brebes local government, for example, setting up 120 signs to be installed on the alternative paths. Head of Transportation, Communication and Information of Brebes, Mayang Sri Herbimo, said, alternative paths prepared by Brebes local government are in the area of north, central and south. Media Indonesia newspaper writes the rise in food prices is tolerated for 9%. Ramadan always exploited by traders to raise the price of the food needed by the community. In order the price increase is not a burden on socially and keeping the inflation rate, the government immediately sets a special price of major food commodities during Ramadan. Ministry of Commerce discards the special pricing that is a derivative of presidential regulations about stock control and prices of major food commodities. Minister of Trade Rahmat Gobel told Media Indonesia yesterday that currently his ministry prioritized on special pricing during Ramadan, given the tendency of food prices always rise during the holy month. The price increase is tolerated for about 9%, but this figure will be recalculated. Rahmat confirms the increase in the average price of the national staple food is still relatively reasonable. The price increase following a public demand for the welcoming of the fasting month of Ramadan. The next headline is from Koran Tempo. Tempo writes, Kala insists bowl mafia is demolished. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala supports the efforts to combat the mafia which fixed the football score. He also requested that the settlement will be like the steps that have been made by the World Football Federation or FIFA. Allegations of bowl mafia had previously rocked FIFA. In May, the Swiss police arrested 7 FIFA's top officials in connection with the bribery scandal and money laundering. As the news of the arrest was ticking out, Yusuf Kala had flicked the step of freezing the entire Indonesian Football Association by the Ministry of Youth and Sports from April 18 to follow what FIFA did, suggested that Indonesia arrest the person, not freeze the organization. We end today's headline with the headlines of Business Indonesia, which writes, Jokowi is disappointed. What is the solution? Indonesian President Joko Widodo could not cover his disappointment of the duration of dwelling time for containers at Tanjung Priok, which is in an average of 5.5 days. According to the President, dwelling time at Tanjung Priok Port is the longest among regional countries. Jokowi says facilities at the port of Tanjung Priok is good enough. The president noted there was something wrong in the case of service by agency officials at the port involving 18 ministries and agencies. The president committed to clearing these obstacles in its own way. The president said he would seek the answers to the questions posed at the Tanjung Priok Bayport Authority M. Hassani about agencies that hinder their dwelling time. Well, listener, that was the headlines of National Newspaper published today in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received representatives of 14th Islamic Mass Organization as part of Islamic Mass Organization Brotherhood Institution, LPOI, at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. Secretary General of LPOI, Haji Lubis, said after the meeting with President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace that LPOI will always stand behind the President and urged government to pay more attention to the people's welfare. International Monetary Fund IMF has urged Indonesian government to pursue a strong structural reform agenda and accelerate infrastructure development to achieve growth and open new employment opportunities. IMF Deputy Managing Director Mishiro Furuzawa said Executive Bantaran Tuesday it had been an honor to visit Indonesia for the first time as IMF Deputy Managing Director. Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Ade Supandi said that Navy will immediately refit Squadron 100 to reinforce the main weaponry system or Alutsista in the range of Navy flight. Admiral Ade Supandi explained in Surabaya on Wednesday that Squadron 100 to be refitted at Chuandon Air Base is an anti-submarine helicopter squadron, so the squadron will be the strong mainstay for marine operations. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martuardoyo is optimistic that Indonesian economic growth this year is still in the range of 5%, despite a number of financial institutions had made corrections. Governor Agus said in Jakarta on Wednesday that International Monetary Fund IMF has conducted a study and projected that Indonesia's economic growth this year is only capable at the level of 4.7%. In regard to the reports of people in the dire need of food in East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa flew to the region on Wednesday to distribute food. State Logistics Agency Yogyakarta Branch has prepared 4,000 tons of rice for market operation during Muslim Holy Month of Ramadan. Yogyakarta Bulog Chief Langgan Wisnu Adinugroho said that the market operation was held at the expense of regency and city governments in the province. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. And in today's edition, I introduce you to Sanghyang Jaran Dance, so stay tuned. Last April, Semarapura Festival was held in Klungkung, Bali. The festival, that lasts for 4 days, aims to stimulate the creativity of the people in the fields of culture, arts, and crafts. The opening of the festival featured a parade participated in by dozens of artists and cultural arts groups. They feature fragments of dance, ogoh-ogoh art, and barong art. A number of ancient traditions was also displayed. One of them was Sanghyang Jaran Dance. Sanghyang Jaran Dance is a sacred dance that serves as an accompaniment to the ceremony to drive out the flock that hit the village or area. In addition, this dance is also used as a means of protection against the threat of black power. There are various kinds of Sanghyang Jaran dance. One of them is Sanghyang Jaran, which was performed at the Semarapura festival. Sanghyang Jaran played by two men while riding a rocking horse made of rattan or wood with a tail made of palm leaf. Before dancing, the clergy recites a prayer and mantra and perform tirtha or water sprinkling. The dancers also seem to be an incarnation of the Sanghyang Jaran or horse god. A ballet was then sung and the dance began. In the Sanghyang Jaran dance, one dancer holds a white rocking horse named Onche Srawa, while other hold a red piggyback horse, Nalasanda. White is a symbol for a mare and red is a symbol for a stallion or a male horse. This dance has 10 stages in accordance with the hymns that are sung. One thing that is very interesting in this art is the players will experience trance or possess at the time of staging. In such circumstances, they dance, sometimes on the embers of the fire and food around the village to drive away the plague. Based on an old script, a palm leaf stored in the Jungut Batu village temple, the Sanghyang Jaran dance has been danced since 1894. Originally from Ida Pendada Gede Punia from Giria Bangli, as a dance of repellent, the enforcement, or any catastrophic outbreak in the Bangli Bali, this dance evolved in various regions in Bali. In northern Bali, the Sanghyang Jaran dancers were masked. Meanwhile, in the Unggasan village, Kuta, Badung Regency, Sanghyang Jaran dance regularly for 5 days in November to March, which in these months the flock is raging. In addition, Sanghyang Jaran dance also often danced as a vow after recovering from an illness. Sanghyang Jaran dance is now beginning to be commercialized both in the community as a spectacle and tourism interest. Dance is actually staged in Jungut Batu village temple, Bali, once a year. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sanghyang Jaran Dance. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miss Lenny. Today's edition presents you Bali Kite Festival. Stay tuned. Kite, which is one of the favorite games for Indonesian children, now also becomes the favorite one for adults. In Indonesia, Kite Festival is even held. Every year, Bali holds Kite Festival in an uncommon size and shape. In 2015, Bali held Kite Festival again. It will be held from July 18th to 20th, 2015 in Padang Galak, Sanur Beach, Bali. This event is an international kite festival which is held in July. In that month, the wind is in the best condition to fly kites. Kites that are used in this festival are not small. The shape and the size is uncommon. It has a giant size, which is 4 times 10 meter, with various kinds of unique shapes, which become the attraction of this festival. The shapes vary from bebean or fish, janggan or bird, and pecukan or leaves. Bebean has the biggest size. Janggan looks attractive with its tail ornament, which reaches hundreds of meters, while pecukan is the easiest one to fly because its shape is stable. The colors of the kites are usually red, white, and black. The colorful kites can attract many tourists. Besides, view in the festival will be so beautiful when children and adults compete to fly kites in an empty paddy field. Bali Kites Festival is not merely kite competition. This event contains religious value because the flying kites bring the request of Hindu gods in order to make plant harvest always abundant. While the kites are flying, visitors will hear the beautiful Balinese traditional music. The festival will also hold creation competition. The participants will make 3D works which describe Hindu gods and can be flight. According to the belief of Balinese people, all of the things are hereditary tradition, including kite festival, a game which is considered small but has a big meaning. Flying kites cannot be done in a small place, especially if we want to fly giant kites. Therefore, Padang Galak, Sanur Beach is chosen as the place of the kite festival. Its flat land contour and big wind flow are the main thing to be concerned about if we want to fly giant kites. Kite festival is indeed not only held in Bali. However, Kite Festival in Bali is not only flying kites together. This festival is not for showing ability to fly kites. We can feel peace if we fly kites in patience. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on Bali Kites Festival. I'm Harnita. Thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I introduced you to Jaman Band. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song, Obat Rindu by Jaman Band. Here is the song.
Dinding gambarmu menghias
Departing from religious activities, Idam, the vocalist, Moit, the keyboardist, Yi Yi, guitarist, Bayou bassist, and Ipul, drums, agreed to form a band on March 1, 2006. They called themselves as Jaman Band. The name was taken from the alley where they stay at the same place at a mosque in which they forge every day in their sensitivity. With pop genre flow, this band claims to have Jamanese, the fans of Jaman Band, more than 1,000 in 30 cities across Indonesia. And more than that, the personnel of Jaman Band wants to change their image as young boys who still act negatively. Well, listener, now let's listen to the song Setannya Kamu. Happy listening.
Di laut ada ikan, di langit ada bulan, di hutan ada rotan, di kota banyak setan. Setannya kamu, mata duitan, selalu saja bikin persoalan. Di laut ada ikan, di langit ada bulan, di hutan ada rotan, di kota banyak setan. Setannya kamu, mata duitan, selalu saja bikin persoalan. Kamu pasti ada keonaran. Soalan dari lahirnya sifat bawaan, ada kamu pasti ada keonaran. Setannya kamu, mata duitan, selalu saja bikin persoalan. Dari lahirnya sifat bawaan, ada kamu pasti ada keonaran.
Well, listener, now we move to the following group band, namely Inside Band. Departing from Samarinda, then made a stopover in Surabaya, Inside Band finally penetrates the national market. It is marked by the launch of the album entitled Menembus Waktu under the W&D banner, a new label in the hero city Surabaya. Consists of Davin, the vocalist, Adi, bassist, Marvin, guitarist, Abik, keyboardist, and Tias, drummer. Inside Band packs 10 songs, pop, easy listening nuance with song Luka Hati, composed by Marvin as single hits. Well, listener, before we conclude our musical program for today, now let's listen to the last song entitled Luka Hati by Inside Band. And here is the song, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ku ingin kau hati perasaan ini, ketulusan hati. Meski semua harus terhapus, semua kenangan yang indah bersamamu. Aku menguakan cinta yang takkan pernah bisa hidup tanpa dirinya. Haruskah aku mendustakan cinta tulusan hati yang kini telah sirna. Cinta dan takkan pernah bisa hidup tanpa dirinya. Haruskah aku mendustakan cinta tulisan hati yang kini telah sirna.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Mengapa tak ada?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.